Morning, Council. While you're setting up, I'll call the case. It's A24-1612, State of Minnesota Appellant versus Larry Aunte, I'm sorry if I butchered that, Eugene Taylor Respondent. Council, each of you has 15 minutes for your principal arguments, 5 minutes for rebuttal for appellant if you choose to use it. And you're familiar with how things operate, so I won't say more. And Council, except please state your name and a party you represent for the record when you begin your argument. So, Council for Appellant.
May it please the court and council, my name is Matthew Huff, and I'm an assistant Hennepin County attorney representing appellant, State of Minnesota, in this pretrial appeal. This court should reverse the district court's pretrial suppression ruling for three reasons. First, with respect to the search warrant issue, the district court erred by not giving proper deference to the issuing magistrate who determined that there was a substantial basis based on the totality of the circumstances for concluding that probable cause existed. Second, the district court erred by reviewing each component of the warrant affidavit in isolation rather than in totality, and by failing to afford the proper deference to law enforcement's training and experience, specifically where Officer Jama identified the plastic bag in respondents' vehicles being a plastic narcotics bag. Finally, while the district court did not rule on the issue of whether the warrantless seizure of respondents' vehicle was supported by probable cause, the totality of the circumstances provided officers with reason to believe that the vehicle contained contraband and the seizure was therefore lawful.
Can I start with some framing now that you've identified those issues?
Certainly.
Is there any reason, in order to reverse this as you are requesting, we do need to address the seizure question, right? Because it was raised.
I think
the defendant below.
I think that's right, Your Honor. In reading respondents' brief, so they cite to Grunig and Rule of Criminal Procedure 29.04, and I'm very familiar with those rules given that typically the state's the one on the other side of this that raises those, and so I think that, yes, that issue's properly before the court. In addition, the record below is sufficient for this court to rule on that issue. I think specifically Exhibits 2 through 8 were submitted on that issue, and then also both parties briefed the issue, and for whatever reason, the district court just didn't rule on the issue, but
okay.
Yes.
So that's good. I think so. And so if seizure, if, for example, we were to decide that the seizure was unconstitutional, well, then the evidence is suppressed, right? I mean, that would end it. We wouldn't get to the warranted search. Or am I wrong about that? If the seizure was unconstitutional,
I think
you lose, right?
Well, first you'd have to address the search warrant issue, and if you agree with us on that, then in addressing the second issue, if you find it unconstitutional, then yeah.
I'm wondering why we wouldn't reverse the issues, and here's my reasoning. If they, in other words, you need both to be constitutional in order to win here, right? To prevail in this appeal.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Okay, so I'm not sure it matters which one we addressed first, go ahead.
I guess I would say the district court's order only addressed the search warrant issue. And
yes.
So I guess the standard review is de novo for this court for both issues, but in my mind, it makes more sense to address that issue first.
Let me tell you why I think it might make sense the other way, and
okay.
Tell me if I'm wrong about it, is when I read, and this gets to the part of your reply brief, when I read Roy, for example, it talks about seizure of seizure of a vehicle and search of a vehicle are both subject to a warrantless seizure and warrantless search are both subject to a probable cause standard. And so it talks about the seizure when there's probable cause to seize contraband might be found, there might be a warrantless seizure of a vehicle. I'm wondering if you have to show, let's put aside your argument that you don't, that reasonable suspicion is enough. If you have to show probable cause to seize, for sure there's going to be probable cause probably to search, right? I don't see the difference between those two standards. The warrantless or warranted, you know, if there's probable cause to seize without a warrant, it seems like there's probable cause to search. Good that they got a warrant, but it seems like it's going to determine both issues.
I think that's fair, and I do think because it's probable cause, it's all very intertwined in this case. It's also a little complicated just because for the first issue, we're only looking at the four corners of the warrant, and then the record is a little different if we get to the second issue.
True, exactly. That's why I was sort of starting with the seizure, because I don't know. I mean, a seizure probable cause sort of adds some things that aren't in a warrant. I understand the four corners. The four corners contain X, Y, and Z. It seems like the seizure. But
it seems like it might be a little different because my understanding of the record, and I could be wrong, was that they seized the vehicle pending receiving a search warrant. I assume if a judge had denied the search warrant, the vehicle would have been returned. The record is silent on that, but that's kind of standard procedure.
Yeah, I'm just, but you agree probable cause is required. Well, no, Roy says probable cause to seize. Now, you argue that instead seizures should be subject to a reasonable suspicion standard.
Correct.
Is there any case law that we can look at that would apply reasonable, articulable suspicion to a seizure of a vehicle?
We argued U.S. v. Place and then just how that applies the Terry framework so that you need less than probable cause in situations where you're seizing property. So that's what I would rely on in making that argument.
Okay. And would this be new in doing it in a seizure of a vehicle? Was that that was not a vehicle case, right?
I can't recall offhand, to be honest, if I cited a Minnesota case or not for that point in the reply. But if whatever's in the reply, that's what I'm relying on, Your Honor.
Okay. All right. So with that background, go ahead.
I guess that brought up one point I wanted to make just about the record, the difference of the record for the two issues. And so I think with the seizure issue, we get into looking at the police reports. And so there's, I think, two additional circumstances that come up when you look at those police reports. And so the first is both officers in the reports acknowledge that or state that they had knowledge based on experience that individuals hide narcotics and weapons in the vehicles in that area. Or I guess Sergeant Schroeder's report was in that area. Officer Jama's report just said in general. And then the second piece goes to the officers both talking about their training experience with tear-offs, tear-off baggies and narcotics, and how Sergeant Schroeder identified the plastic bag on the or plastic on the driver's seat as being either a tear-off baggie or a corner of a tear-off. And so I think that's important that if this court gets to the seizure issue, those are two additional circumstances that can be considered for the totality analysis. One of the other topics I wanted to talk about was this idea of the district court not giving deference to the issuing magistrate. I think that based on the four corners of the warrant, Officer Jama referred to the plastic on the driver's seat of respondents' vehicles being a plastic narcotics bag, and from the state's perspective, the district court erred by not giving deference to the officer there. I think if you look at the search warrant affidavit on the first page, the officer talks about his training and experience so that he's been a police officer since 2016. He has experience with narcotics and weapons cases, and so I think looking at that piece of it in conjunction with the conclusion that it was a plastic narcotics bag was just something that the district court completely ignored in the order. Additionally, I wanted to talk just so I know the state makes the claim that in this case the district court considered each circumstance in isolation rather than in totality, and the basis for our position with that is, first, I think if you look at the actual order on pages 4 through 9, the district court breaks out each circumstance individually, and then it appears in some of them, at least like the last sentence will say, this does not support probable cause. And so I think looking at it that way, and then also there's not really a section tying all the circumstances together, if that makes sense, like at the end. And so I think that that's one of the reasons the state is making that claim.
Well, I think the judge also made an implicit finding that if you had sought a warrant for his person, maybe there'd be probable cause, but you sought it for the car.
And I think that's a problem, Your Honor, because the totality of the circumstances asks a court to look at the circumstances present, not necessarily circumstances that could have been present to form a basis for probable cause. And so I think that happens in a couple sections in the order as well. And so that's, I guess, a secondary reason why the state takes the position that the district court considered each circumstance in isolation.
I want to ask a question about the record on the for probable cause for the seizure of the vehicle. That does not include, as I understand it, Taylor's statements to Sergeant Schroeder that he had marijuana. Those statements were made after the vehicle was seized, is that right? As well as the handover of the bag of marijuana.
And I guess that gets into the question of when did the seizure occur.
Yeah, that's
right?
What I'm asking.
Yeah, and so I think reading respondent's brief, it appears that they're arguing implicitly that that occurred when the officer actually decided to tow the vehicle. I think that there's an argument that could be made that the vehicle was, or that seizure occurred when Taylor was told that the vehicle was going to be towed. But I think regardless, the factors that happened prior to even the officer making the decision are enough to establish probable cause. That's the state's position on that issue.
So your position on what is the record on seizure? Does it include the statements of Mr. Taylor and the handing over the bag?
Looking at the police report with the timing of it, I don't think that would. I don't think that would be part of it.
Okay, thank you.
So the seizure, you would not challenge that it happened at the time that he decided to seize, which was prior to encountering Mr. Taylor?
I would lean more towards that it happened when he told Mr. Taylor, just because it's his possessory interest. And so it's tricky, but I'm basically trying to say I don't think it matters too much if it's either when the officer decided or when he told Mr. Taylor, because they happened pretty close in time anyways.
I'm just wondering when you think it happened and if we should be decide if this was important to us in order to identify what goes into the probable cause. Should we consider or not consider his statement that he had marijuana on this person?
For the seizure
for
issue?
The seizure, correct.
For the seizure issue, mm-hmm. I think it's, given the timing, it's tougher for the court to be able to consider that. I'll submit that. Okay. And with that, that's all I had at this time, unless there's other questions.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Counsel for respondent.
Good morning, Your Honor, and may it please the court. My name is Anders Erickson, and I represent the respondent this morning, Mr. Taylor. We are requesting that this court affirm the district court's order suppressing the evidence for two reasons. First, law enforcement did not have probable cause to seize and tow the vehicle based only on the smell of marijuana and observing a small, very small piece of plastic sitting on the driver's seat. Based on that information alone, that is the only information that was connected to the vehicle that the officer based his decision to seize the vehicle. Second, even if we get to the warrant did not include probable cause within the four corners. Again, it was based on two things, the odor of marijuana and the observation of a small piece of plastic. There was no investigation or observation of Mr. Taylor being involved in any criminal activity that day. There was no information from a confidential informant saying that Mr. Taylor was selling marijuana. There was no information from anybody that he had possessed a firearm that day. The record only establishes that there was the smell of marijuana and a piece of plastic. That is it.
How would you respond to Judge Smith's question about how we frame the analysis? Do we start with the seizure? Do we start with the warrant?
Yeah, I think it only makes sense to start with the seizure, just as far as timing goes. The seizure takes place, the car is then towed, then they get the warrant, and the record is different. Our position is that the seizure took place as soon as Officer Schroeder told the officers to seize the vehicle and to then tow it. And at that point, the record is smaller than what is in the search warrant application. There is no conversation with Mr. Taylor at that point regarding marijuana. Mr. Taylor doesn't admit to having marijuana, and Mr. Taylor doesn't hand the officer marijuana. Even if we were to have that information included within the seizure analysis, Officer Schroeder doesn't believe that that is evidence of a crime either, because he doesn't arrest Mr. Taylor at that point. He lets him go. We don't know what happened to that baggie of marijuana based on the information in the reports. So it could have been a very small legal amount of marijuana. So even if we do include that conversation, it does not create probable cause to believe that there's evidence of a crime inside the vehicle. Again, there's no connection to the vehicle with any of the external information regarding the area being a high crime area or Mr. Taylor's them finding a firearm a month earlier. Again, if somebody would have alleged that they saw Mr. Taylor with a firearm that day, possibly that would have been relevant. But because there's absolutely nothing in the record regarding Mr. Taylor committing a crime or participating in a crime on that day, it cannot support the idea that there was probable cause to seize the vehicle.
Judge Bratfield, go ahead.
Okay, I was going to ask you, the state is asking us to defer, asking us to conclude that the district court erred by failing to defer to the issuing magistrate. How do you view that argument and issue in light of case law?
Yeah, so of course we have to give great deference to the issuing magistrate. In this case, however, there was only two pieces of evidence within that search warrant application that could even possibly be connected to criminal activity: the smell of marijuana and the piece of plastic. And even though we give great deference, there still has to be probable cause.
How about the location of the car?
The car was legal.
Parking lot.
Yeah, the car was legally parked in a business public area, in a business parking lot. There's a Cub Foods there, there's a Walgreens there, there's a Subway restaurant. Nothing about that on its own establishes that he's involved
in
criminal activity.
Experienced officers said was like an open drug market.
You know, I have a hard time with that statement, given that a lot of people live in these neighborhoods and park their vehicles in those neighborhoods every single day and go to the grocery store and go to the Walgreens and go to the Subway. So the idea that it's an open-air drug market doesn't give probable cause to seize and search every single vehicle in that parking lot.
What about vehicles that smell of marijuana and have a tear-off?
Well,
I mean, each individual one doesn't have to show only a criminal, possible criminal.
Right. So the idea of where the car was generally, that is, there's nothing particular about that vehicle. When we talk about the smell of marijuana, we know from Torgerson and Ortega that the smell of marijuana alone does not establish probable cause. A small piece of plastic, if there would have been residue in that plastic, or something else in a drug paraphernalia near that plastic that would have connected the dots to actual criminal activity, there may have been something there. Or, like I said previously, if a CI had said, hey, I saw Mr. Taylor that morning selling drugs, selling heroin, selling cocaine, and he uses plastic bags with tear-offs, and then they look in the vehicle and they see a little piece of plastic, that's the totality of the circumstances analysis. We need more than just a piece of plastic on the seat.
Can you speak to, because it comes up in a reply brief for reasons that we all understand in terms of the district court's ruling, but the idea about the seizure and from the state's argument that, you know, there's probable cause, but even if there's not, it's supported by reasonable suspicion, and that's all that's needed in to seize a container under place.
Yeah, so place was decided in the 60s by the United States Supreme Court. I believe it was 63. Our Supreme Court decided Roy in the 70s. Jankowski was after Roy, and then this court has relied on both Jankowski and Roy recently in an unpublished decision in Van Gilder in 2020.
What's that case? Is that cited?
It's cited in my brief. It's a 2020, it's Vagilder. In that case, it's not precedential, but it does discuss Roy, and the state makes the exact same argument in that case, and this court rejected that argument.
To a seizure question.
To whether Roy stands for the idea that to seize a vehicle and tow it is based only on reasonable suspicion, and this court said no. And there's absolutely no case law anywhere that says a seizure and a tow of a vehicle can only be based only on reasonable suspicion. Even Place doesn't say that. That's not about a vehicle. That is only about a piece of luggage at an airport, I believe. And that's a completely different analysis. Actually taking a vehicle and bringing it somewhere else, that has to fit under the automobile exception, which requires probable cause. Unless the court has any other questions regarding either.
I'll ask about the baggie a little bit more. So as I understand the state's argument, they are asking us to view the complaint as a, or the complaint, the warrant as a whole, and the officer's experience in narcotics in terms of our view of the baggie, or at least our deference perhaps to the issuing magistrate. In deciding that that does factor into the totality of the analysis. So although the baggie is this small piece of cellophane, we've all seen the photograph, that the officer knows from the officer's experience that it is used for drugs. Mm-hmm. So in light of that, that's enough to tip it over. I mean, you discuss it in terms of it being an empty baggie, but the officer's experience gives more than that in the warrant application, or well, for the seizure. Let's just talk about that. Yeah. So based on the police reports.
Yeah, a couple things. One is I wouldn't even say it's an empty baggie. I would say it's just a piece of plastic.
Okay. That's what you say, but that's not how the officer characterizes. That's my point, and I'm not saying it very well.
No, I understand. So that's how I'm seeing it. That's also how the district court said it in the factual findings on page 5 and 6 of the court's order, is that it wasn't a plastic narcotics bag. It was a piece of plastic. So even taking the officers, we have a picture, so we know exactly what it looks like. Even if we take the officer's experience, that alone of just having that piece of plastic would give the officer suspicion, curiosity. Look, there is a piece of plastic in here. My training experience, I've seen so many cases where there's a bag of cocaine or heroin in a bag that looks similar to that in my experience. Okay, so then go investigate. Go talk to somebody, figure out whether this vehicle was actually involved in drug dealing. We don't have that next step. So yes, in that, I mean, those officers go into that parking lot, they're there every day. They see these people all the time. They interact with folks who've committed crimes. Of course, their experience, they know what they're looking for, but it still has to get to that probable cause level. They still need more than that. It can start the inquiry. You can look in that window and say, there's a small piece of plastic. Okay, we don't have enough now, but we need to investigate. Let's look at those surveillance cameras that the police report discusses that they have, see if Mr. Taylor is involved in actually drug selling, because there is no evidence of that. There's no allegation that he's a drug dealer. They've never seen him deal drugs in this police report. They never mentioned that. So just a piece of plastic alone is not enough. So I'm not saying that the officers can't start their investigation there or have curiosity or even suspicion, but it doesn't get to the level of probable cause. All right, the court doesn't have any other questions.
Great.
Request
Thank you.
That the court affirm the district court's order. Thanks.
Counsel for appellant.
And I think I'll just jump in on the plastic issue. So I guess I made the argument that for the search warrant affidavit, the officer referred to it as a plastic narcotics bag, and so from the state's perspective, in the district court's order, she said that she was only considering the four corners of the warrant and talking about the plastic bag or piece of plastic, however we want to talk about it. But then she referred to, like, the photographs of the piece of plastic. And so I guess from the state's perspective on the search warrant issue, that was improper. And also, getting to the seizure issue with the piece of plastic, in the police reports they talk about, like, tear offs and what that is and based on their training and experience, and so I think that's all that I have to address unless the panel has any other questions. If not, I would ask that this court reverse the district court's order.
Thank you. Thank you both very much for your briefing, for your arguments this morning. Case is submitted, and we'll have a decision out in the statutory time period. And that concludes our calendar this morning, and so we are adjourning. Thanks.
All right.